Well, isn't it amazing how quickly time flies? Like, didn't it just seem like 3 weeks ago it was like sunny and it was like 82 degrees, right? The sun was shining all the time. It was just seems like it was just 3 weeks ago it was summer, and now all of a sudden it's not summer anymore, and it's like welcome back to Michigan, right? It's dark when you get up. It's dark when you come home from work. It's just dark, and then occasionally we get sleet, right? So it's amazing how fast time goes, but it is amazing, actually, that today is the last day, the last weekend in our annual Four campaign, and that means today is Sunday Serve Day, which means that while you're in here, there's a bunch of people who are in the gym this morning, and they are helping to organize a bunch of care items that are going to be used this winter by all these ministries that we support as a church. And it also means that if you have not yet given your 1995, please, you want to do that on your way out today. I'll explain that more for those of you who are joining with us the first time. Those of you who are watching at home today, I'm so glad that you're with us and that you are here as we wrap up our campaign. It is great to see you, Matt and Brooke. I think you're out there. Lori, I think you're over there somewhere. Linda, I know you're out there. And I want to make sure that you guys, that you join in on the fun with us. If you haven't given your 1995, if you're online, you can do that with us as well. And this is also, we're coming near the end of the opportunity that you have to sponsor a child for Christmas this year with Gifts for All God's Children. You can do that again in the lobby. We are going to be bringing back these presents on December the 7th, which is right around the corner. So if you have not yet got a couple of kids that you want to sponsor this year, please make sure that you do that. Last weekend, I told you how incredibly generous you were because in the very first weekend of our campaign, you gave more than $12,000, right? All of which is going to be given away. Plus, then last week, on top of that, you gave another $13,000. And even I can do that math in my head. That means that so far, you have given over $25,000, right? 100% of this is going to be given away to some amazing nonprofits here in our community. Two right here in Metro Detroit, Micah 6 and the Power Company Kids Club. Both of these are our ministries in Pontiac. And then also My Special Treasure, which is one of our international partners in Guatemala. It's going to help them as they seek to really help some women and children that are in just some awful, awful, awful conditions outside of Guatemala City. Last week, if you were with us, you actually got to see a short video about the Essenberg family and what their experience was this past year when Wendy and Merwin and Karen, when they all went to My Special Treasure in person. They got to meet Vanny and Luis and see all the kids, meet all the teachers and the staff, and really just see up close and personal the amazing impact that you are able to have, that we're able to have as a church in the lives of these kids. I told you last week we have about 12 kids that are still praying and asking for partner families. A number of you sponsored some of those kids and partnered with those kids last week. We have some more kids that we would love to get partnered up with you all through this year's Four campaign. Again, you can scan this QR code. You can go to our Four campaign website. You'll find all this information. Doing this does not commit you to anything. It just gives you the information so you can see exactly what it is that we are partnering and helping My Special Treasure to accomplish in Guatemala. And remember, the goal always in the Four campaign is not simply to raise a dollar amount. The goal is always 100% participation, right? So I really do want every one of you, right? If you're even if you're a guest with us today for the first time today, you can play along. Everybody can scrape together $19.95. We don't keep any of this, so you're not giving this money to us. You're actually giving this to organizations here in our community, middle schoolers, high schoolers, elementary school students. You guys can find $20 a piece, right? Everybody can find $20. I want all of you to be able to say that you were a part of making this amazing demonstration of Jesus' love happen in our community. Now, if this is your first weekend, or if you have not been with us for the last couple of weeks, our annual Four campaign is a celebration of generosity. We do this every year. And what we do during the season is we all come together corporately, and we do for our community corporately, we do what Jesus has done for all of us individually, and that is to love and to bless and to serve. And the way that we do this is we ask everybody. I ask everybody to give a one-time gift of $19.95, and then we take all that money and we give it away, right? No administration charges, no handling fees, nothing. 100% of it, all of it, gets given away to some amazing nonprofits here in our community to help them love the people that God has placed them in our community to love and to serve. This is actually the eighth year of our FOR campaign, through which you've already given more than $290,000, which is absolutely amazing, right? And this doesn't count this year's money that you've given. So now we're over, you know, well over the $300,000 mark. All of this has gone back into our community here to help people be loved by Jesus in the name of Jesus. The reason we do all this is because we know as a church, no matter how much we grow, we're never going to have the ability to take care of all the needs that are in our community. And so what we decided to do a number of years ago, instead of going and starting a whole bunch of things and duplicating a bunch of efforts, we simply decided to go and find the ministries and the organizations that are already here, already doing amazing work, loving people in the name of Jesus, and instead of competing with those organizations, we would actually rather highlight them and partner with them and give them the fuel they need to love the people that God has put them in this community to love. And so we focus our help on organizations that do things like deal with hunger, medical care, housing, human trafficking, education, family stabilization, and community health. We have a number of ministry partners that we actually work with all year long, like Trinity Community Care, Crossroads Pregnancy Center, Gifts for All God's Children, Ellie's House, House of Hope, Hurdling Handicap, and Faith Works, as well as many others. But it's during our FOR campaign each year that we take this opportunity not only to highlight and bless these organizations, but some other outstanding organizations in our community with some unexpected and much-needed funding, again, that you all generously supply through your one-time gift of $19.95. And this is really important to understand. None of these organizations have asked us for anything. We haven't made any financial commitments to any of these organizations because we never know how generous all of you are going to be. And so they're not expecting this. Most of them have no idea this is even happening. In a couple of weeks, they're just going to get some great big checks from you, which is going to help them to love people in their community and serve people in our community at a time where there is a lot of need in our community. And so that's what you get to be a part of today. If you haven't given your $19.95, I hope you'll do that. Host team members will be at the door on the way out. You can give them cash or checks, or you can give electronically. In fact, if you want to take out your phone right now and you want to give electronically right now, I do not mind. That will not bother me. Just do not go to Amazon. That's the only request that I have. Just stay on our website. And again, today, as we wrap up our time together in our FOR campaign, what I want us to do today is actually spend some time talking about something that is truly foundational to being a follower of Jesus. And so if you're new to church or if you're new to following Jesus, then this is going to be really helpful for you. Or if you're somebody who has been out of church for a while, And the reason you're here today actually is because somebody invited you. They know what we're doing this weekend, and so they wanted you to come and be a part of our campaign, be a part of our Sunday Serve Day. And if that's you, I am so excited to have you here with us, because not only is what we are going to talk about today something that's foundational, it's actually the source of a huge, huge misunderstanding about what it means to follow Jesus. In fact, it's a misunderstanding of following Jesus that for many people actually results in them not going to church or not feeling like they're welcome in church. And it may actually be the reason why you, at some point in the past, stopped going to church. Because see, the truth is, Jesus did not invite us as his followers to simply be good. Right? And yet, unfortunately, this is where the message of Christianity stops for way too many people in our world. Right? People think I have to be good. Right? They just want me to be good, but I can't be that good. In fact, I know the people who claim to be that good. They're not actually that good themselves. They're just a bunch of hypocrites, and I don't want to be a part of any of that. But see, Jesus didn't stop here. In fact, the truth is, Jesus didn't even start here. right? Think about this. That's why people like Matthew, who was a tax collector in the first century, that's why Matthew could follow Jesus. It's why people who in the first century were sex workers, it's why they could follow Jesus, because Jesus didn't call his followers to simply be good. No, Jesus called his followers to actually do good. But not do good in the usual way, because everybody does good in some kind of way. Jesus said, no, if you are going to be one of my followers, then here's what I want you to do, because I'm here to introduce a brand new kingdom. Right? It's not a political kingdom. It's not a geographical kingdom. It's a kingdom of conscience, Jesus would say. It's a kingdom of the heart. Jesus said, if you're going to be one of my followers, then you should know this is how my kingdom operates. In my kingdom, in my followers, I want you to love your enemies, and I want you to do good to those who hate you. I want you to bless those who curse you, and I want you to pray for those who mistreat you. Right? To which, when you hear that, if you're at all like me, you go, okay, Jesus, listen, I just got to be honest. Like, I'm just not going to do that. Like, I don't understand, Jesus. I forget to actually pray for the people that I love. I mean, Jesus, I forget to pray for my friends. Like, I don't have enough time in my life, Jesus, to go and do good for the people that I care about. I certainly don't have enough time in my life to go and do all this for people who don't even like me, people who have done evil things to me. Like, Jesus, what in the world are you even thinking? And see, Jesus says, well, listen, I'm inviting you into something new. If someone slaps you on the cheek, right, which would make that person your enemy. So this is actually an illustration of what it means to love your enemy, right? If someone slaps you on the cheek, Jesus says, I want you to turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, Jesus says, then don't withhold your shirt. Give to everyone, right? Everyone. Everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Now, I don't know how Jesus' first century followers felt when they first heard Jesus say these words, but I certainly know how this makes me feel, right? When I read these words, it's like, okay, like Jesus, how could you live? Like, how would I survive if I did this? How would you expect me to pay my bills? I mean, Jesus, there's no way, like, if I really did this, I can't make a living doing this. If I gave to everyone who asked me? And see, Jesus knows that that's what we're thinking. He knows that's what his first century audience was thinking. And now, right, in that moment, Jesus actually has us exactly where he wants us. And so what he does is he begins to shift our focus to where he wants our attention to be. Because what Jesus is doing is he's trying to change the way that we think, right? So he starts by making these big, broad, extreme kind of statements that just mess up all of our little boxes and categories. And the reason Jesus begins to mess with our categories is because when I think of giving, right, whether that's to a person like this scripture is talking about, or even if it's just kind of giving in general, right, my natural tendency, especially when it's a person, is to look at the person who's asking, and I oftentimes I'll say to myself something like, well, listen, they're just asking because they don't want to work, right? If they were more responsible, then they wouldn't need to ask me for this, right? My natural tendency is to think, what are they going to do with whatever it is that I give to them, right? Our tendency is always, whenever we're confronted in a situation like this, our tendency is always to look at the person who's asking and then make a decision and a judgment based on my estimation, our estimation of that person, right? That's just what all of us, what we naturally do. But Jesus is trying to change our thinking. And so then Jesus says something that all of us have heard before, but maybe we actually didn't understand the context in which Jesus says it. Because he now summarizes everything that he just said by saying this. He says, well, I just want you to do to others as you would have them do to you. And see, that's different, isn't it? Because if I needed a coat and I asked somebody for a coat, I just would want them to give me a coat. Right? I wouldn't want them to try to size me up and decide whether or not I really needed a coat or not. I would want someone to trust me that if I needed a coat and I asked you for a coat, that's because I actually need a coat. That if I'm asking for something, it's because I have a legitimate need. See, Jesus is beginning to shift our focus, and he's saying, listen, I don't want you to focus on the person that's asking. I want you to take a step back, and I actually want you to think, okay, what if that were you who were asking? Now, if we kind of just stopped right there at that point, right? I mean, that's kind of a compelling argument, isn't it? That any time we see someone in need or we hear about a need, we just simply kind of step back and we think to ourselves, okay, that what if that were my son? Like, what if that were my daughter? What if that was me? You know, I wouldn't want people trying to size me up and try to figure out whether or not I really needed whatever it was I was asking for. I would just want them to trust me that if I'm asking for something, it's because I have a legitimate need. But see, Jesus doesn't stop there. In fact, Jesus continues. He doesn't even slow down. He just keeps going. And he says this. He says, listen, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? And it's like, okay, Jesus, what in the world, what do you mean credit? What is that all about? But Jesus keeps going. He says, well, even sinners love those who love them. To which we want to go back and say, like, hang on, Jesus, credit. Let's talk about this for a minute. Why do you keep bringing up credit? I wasn't trying to get credit for anything. I was just trying to make sure that what I give was really needed. I don't understand what you're getting at, Jesus, but he keeps going. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Right, okay, so let me get this straight, Jesus. You're saying that if I only love the people who love me, then I don't get any credit for that, and if I only do good to those who are good to me, then I don't get any credit for that either? Like, Jesus, why do you keep bringing this back to credit? Like, we're not talking about credit. But he continues, and he says this in verse 34, and if you only lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? And it's like, okay, Jesus, let me get this straight. You're telling me that somehow I'm supposed to love people who don't love me. I'm supposed to give and serve people who aren't going to do anything for me or give anything back to me. And you actually want me, Jesus, to lend to people knowing that they cannot repay what they've borrowed. And if I don't do all that, I don't get any credit? Like, credit with who? And credit for what? Even sinners, Jesus says, lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. Right? And this is important to understand. When Jesus uses the word sinner here in this context, he's not actually talking about a bad person like we talked about a couple weeks ago. What he's saying is, listen, you don't have to be devoted to God, like in any way, shape, or form. You don't even have to believe in God to lend to somebody when you expect that person to repay you back with interest. Like, everybody does that. And again, notice what Jesus is doing in this series of verses, right? He's building a case, isn't he? A case for why it is that as his followers, as people who are part of his kingdom, why it is that we, individually and corporately, why it is that we should give and serve. And his whole case, it rests on this idea of credit, doesn't it? But again, credit with who? And credit for what? And notice this. This is very important. Don't miss this. Jesus hasn't said anything about being fair, has he? Right? He hasn't brought up the idea that, well, you should do this, you know, because you have more than they do. Right? Jesus hasn't said anything about that at all. There is absolutely no guilt coming from Jesus about any of this. Instead, he's actually kind of turned this whole thing around because he's talking about credit, right? Verse 35. Love your enemies, Jesus says. Do good to them. In other words, serve them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Now, I want to kind of time out here for a minute and pause here for a minute because, and this is a little bit of a confession on my part, because this is actually the part that I struggled with the most personally when I first started trying to really apply and do what Jesus is teaching about serving and being generous in my own life personally. And this goes back to actually my life and my point in time in life about 30 years ago when I was a college student at Wayne State. And because I was a college student, you know, if you're a college student, you know, you always just feel like you don't have any money anyway. Money is always super tight. And again, I was very involved at this point 30 years ago at Wayne at Crew, which was a campus club at Wayne State, and they did a whole lot of service projects. We did a bunch of things right around the campus of Wayne State in Detroit. And 30 years ago, right, in the early 90s, Detroit was a very different place than it is right now, right? And very different, like not in a good way different, right? 30 years ago in the 90s, there were street people everywhere. In the city of Detroit, right? And my thing, and this was hard for me, and maybe you can relate to this, but my thing was, okay, if these people aren't getting any better, right, then why are we doing this? Like, if they're not changing, if they're not becoming more responsible, like, aren't we just enabling their irresponsible behavior? Like, aren't we just throwing our money away? I mean, shouldn't we be more responsible with our money, right? And I'll tell you, that's not a bad way to think, right? Those things aren't bad. That's not wrong, right? Those aren't bad questions at all. It's just that's not what Jesus wants to be. The primary reason that we as his followers, why we give and why we bless and why we serve the people in our world as we represent Jesus and his kingdom to our world. See, Jesus says, okay, Joe, listen, if you're going to be my follower, then I really do. I want you to love and I want you to bless and I want you to serve, right, people, without expecting to get anything in return, even when that's change, even when that's more responsible behavior, right? Look at this again. I know it's familiar, but I'm telling you, this is tough, right? This is not easy. Love your enemies, do good to them, serve them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything, even change, back. Why? Well, Jesus says, because then your reward will be great. And it's like, okay, wait, reward? Hang on. Jesus, I thought the reward was that the next time I saw them, they would have a job and they would be more responsible. Like, I thought that was my reward. And Jesus says, no, listen, you're still focusing on them. And that is not what this is about. Right, then your reward will be great, and you will actually be children of the Most High. And it's like, really? And Jesus says, yeah, because, and do not miss this, because God, your Heavenly Father, you're going to be children of the Most High because God, your Heavenly Father, he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So Jesus, what you're telling me is that the reason why you want me to give and to bless and to serve is because that's what God does? Jesus, you're saying all this is actually just about me becoming more like you? And Jesus says, exactly. Exactly. The reason we give and the reason we bless and the reason we serve, it's not because we have more. It's not because we're trying to spread the wealth, right? That's not at all what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to be extraordinarily generous because my Father in heaven, he is extraordinarily generous. And since Jesus says, I just do what I see my Father doing, Jesus says, that's why I'm extraordinarily generous as well. And so if you're going to be my follower, then that means I want you to do what you see me doing, and that means I want you to be extraordinarily generous like me, just like I'm extraordinarily generous like my Father in heaven. See, what I want people who are not my followers, Jesus would say, to see in the people who are my followers is a reflection of me. And the best reflection that anyone can see in me, Jesus says, is extraordinary generosity. See, that's why Jesus' version of good is the best good. It's the most goodest good that there is. But he isn't done yet. Like, he's just getting rolling at this point. Verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. See, Jesus is telling us, listen, when we see someone who's in need, like, I'm to be merciful not because of their need, but because God has been merciful to me. And that is a powerful, powerful idea because, listen, isn't it true if I'm supposed to be merciful to you based on my perception of your need for mercy, then chances are on a good day I might be this merciful to you, right? But if I'm to be merciful to you, as merciful as God has been to me, then I'm going to end up being this merciful to you because I am so aware of how much mercy I have needed in my life, and I am so aware of how much grace I have needed in my life, and I am so aware of how much of God's forgiveness I have needed in my life. And so if I'm to do for you not what I think you can do for me, and if I'm to do for you not what I think you deserve and not based on my ability to kind of size you up and determine your need, if I'm to do for you what God has done for me, then suddenly I become a much more merciful person. And suddenly I become a much more generous person, a much more kind person, a much more forgiving person. Because this isn't about doing something for you, and it's not about getting something for me. It's about me simply reflecting to the best of my ability what my Heavenly Father has already done for me. And see, that's why wherever there is an active, outward-facing church of Jesus doing what Jesus calls good, people get better, right? Families get better. Communities get better. Even nations get better. And in the first century, right, the people who were living in the vicinity of Christians, they were absolutely astounded what those people, those Jesus people, those followers of Jesus people, what they did with this teaching from Jesus. And when they scratched below the surface, what they discovered, right, when they scratched below the surface of what could only be described as ridiculous generosity, what they discovered wasn't about redistribution, right? It wasn't about I feel guilty, right? Or even that I see your great need. It wasn't about any of that. It was about something far deeper and far richer than any of that. It was people who understood, how could I do any less in light of what God has already done for me? Because see, I needed a lot of mercy. And I can't give God mercy, but I can give you mercy. And I've needed a lot of grace in my life. And I can't give God grace, but I can give you grace. And I have needed so much forgiveness in my life. And I can't give God forgiveness, but you know what? I can give you forgiveness. See, Jesus says when that's how you respond to the people who are around you, then you will be like your Father in heaven. It's amazing. He continues, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Joe, I'm not asking you, right, to serve them and because they deserve to be served. I mean, Joe, did you deserve to be served? Joe, I'm not asking you to make a judgment based on their lifestyle or their habits. I'm simply asking you to do for them what I did for you when I loved you anyway, when I gave you the gift of salvation anyway. Because see, the truth is, this really isn't about them at all. no, Joe, this is about you, and this is about me, your heavenly Father, and this is about you becoming more like me. Because remember, if God's expectation for me is to be merciful based on my estimation of your need for mercy, the truth is there just isn't going to be very much mercy, is there? Because I don't know you like I know me. But if the lens that all of us, right, as individuals are to look through when it comes to the idea of generosity is God's generosity towards me, then where in the world does that end? Right, suddenly for every single one of us, suddenly our generosity bucket, it gets a lot bigger, it gets a lot deeper, and it gets a lot richer, doesn't it? In fact, this is why we find Jesus just one chapter later on in the book of Luke explaining that those who have been forgiven much love much, right? And you can expand that out. Those who have received a lot of mercy from God, those people tend to be more merciful. And the more aware that we become of our need for the grace of God, the more grace-filled we become. And the more aware we are that every good and perfect thing that we have in our life, all of that has come from our Heavenly Father, the more aware of this we become, then the easier it is for us to open up our hands and say, well, who in the world am I to try to hold on to all of this and keep this just for me? Do you know what the greatest opportunity to evangelize is in our culture? And I realize that for some people, this word evangelize feels like a bad word in our world today. It is not a bad word in our world today. Right? Do you know what the greatest opportunity to evangelize in our culture today is? It is not. Right? It is not walking up at doors and knocking and saying, hey, do you know who Jesus is? Right? That's fine. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the greatest opportunity to evangelize in our culture today is ridiculous, over the top, like you've got to be kidding me, levels of generosity and compassion and service. The kind of generosity that makes people who see it go, really? Like, really? You would actually do that? I mean, like, you would shut down your company for a week. You would take a couple weeks of vacation. You would really shut down your company, say no to business, and then pay money to go help serve a bunch of people that you don't even know. You would actually go and do that for a couple of weeks? And you say, yeah. Yeah, because listen, I just got to tell you, I am so grateful for what Jesus has done for me. And see, this is just my way of doing for somebody else what my Heavenly Father has already done for me. That is the New Testament reason for generosity. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, don't miss this, towards others, it will be measured to you. See, this is Jesus making you an incredible promise. Do not miss this. He says, listen, if you actually learn to think differently about service and generosity for people who can't pay you back, don't deserve it, and who may not even be responsible and certainly won't be appreciative with whatever it is that you've given them, if you will learn to give and serve through that lens, Jesus says, something is going to happen on the inside of you. And you're going to end up being more like your Father in heaven. And that should catch our attention. Because when you read through the New Testament, what you discover is that there is nothing in the New Testament that says the more you attend church, the more you're going to end up being like God. There's nothing in the New Testament that says the more consistently that you ask for forgiveness personally, the more you're going to end up being like your Heavenly Father. It's not in there. This is one of just a very, very, very short list of anything that you will find in the Bible that says, listen, if you actually want to be more like your Heavenly Father, then this is what you do. See, we do not give and serve out of guilt. We give and serve out of gratitude, not gratitude for what we have, gratitude for what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus, who forgave our sins, right? Jesus, who said, you will never, ever, ever drain the bucket of grace and mercy that I have for you. And when you really understand that, Jesus says that that is what I've done for you, then all I want you to do, all I want you to do, Jesus says, is go and do for someone else as I have done for you. Because don't miss this. God did not pour out his grace and his mercy on you or on me because it worked. Okay? Think about this. Because the truth is, if you're at all like me, you're still kind of a mess, right? If you're honest. I mean, God's grace and mercy hasn't finished working on me. And he's been working on me for decades at this point. Right? We don't do this because it works. We do this out of gratitude, not for what we have. We do this out of gratitude because of what God has done for us through Jesus. And Jesus is right. When we get this right, his followers, the church of Jesus, it shines. It shines in our world like stars in the sky. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for not withholding your grace and your mercy from me until you knew it would work. Heavenly Father, thank you for still pouring out your grace and your mercy on me and on all of us, even when it doesn't look like it's working. Father, thank you so much for the men and the women, the students in our church, and in all these organizations that we get the opportunity to celebrate with and bless through our campaign this year, that work tirelessly to love and to serve and to keep blessing people in our world. In your name, Jesus, in the most difficult and excruciating of circumstances. And Jesus, I pray that we would always be a people, and that your church, this church, would always be a place that people seeking you can find you, and where those of us who know you join you in your search. Jesus, we pray all of this in your powerful and incredible name. And we ask that you continue to make each of us to be more and more like you every day. Amen.